Now, I'm delighted today to welcome back Jim Reeve. And in fact, he's even brought his boss with him as well, his wife and editor, Joan. So, hello to both of you. You'll just have to talk closely into that mic there, Joan. Right. Now, I say welcome back because you've been to see us many times. And the last time I met you way back in November 2011, when we got to talk about your books on Basildon Past and Present at a schoolboys' war in Cornwall. And now you've come up with another title, Secret Chelmsford. And this, you're now saying, is your sixth.
That's right. It's my sixth book, yeah.
Does that include all your fictional works?
No. I've written fiction as well and won several prizes. In fact, the RAC ran a competition last year, a national one.
Yeah.
And I came second. And I called it And Her Mother Came Too. It was driving on the continent.
That's a good read.
It was a good read.
Now, this is your second book on Chelmsford. So, first of all, I've got to ask you, how does it differ from the earlier book, which I think was called Chelmsford Through Time?
That's correct, yes, yeah. Well, in fact, Chelmsford Through Time compares old Chelmsford with the up-to-date city by showing old photographs and then finding the same place and taking an up-to-date photograph and then giving the history of the buildings there. That's what the secret, you know, Chelmsford Through Time was actually about.
Yeah.
Whereas with in Secret Chelmsford, I tried to find things that the researchers would find interesting but they wouldn't normally know, like the collapse of the Shire Hall staircase during a famous trial.
I mean, that's incredible.
Yeah. And can you imagine this? Unfortunately, a youth was killed when the staircase collapsed.
Yeah.
But can you imagine this? They had to put a ladder up there so that, in fact, the judge and the jury and the audience all climbed down.
You can't believe it, can you?
No, you can't.
You imagine all these bewigged figures
climbing down. Yeah. And then I set up the trial, obviously. And things like Springfield Prison.
Yeah.
42 convicts, probably people might know, but 42 convicts were actually hung there.
Yeah.
And the youngest of them was 17.
Yeah.
And he was employed as a cow herder, and he burnt down he committed arson against his boss.
Yeah.
And they hung him for it, you know.
Seems a bit OTT, doesn't it?
You're not kidding. And in fact, people used to turn up for the whole day, you know, for the day and watch the hanging. And when Mary...
Charming. When Mary... stalls made, outside selling...
Yeah, they did. They literally had stalls outside selling stuff and things like that. It was a real day out, you know.
And, wonderful.
When Mary May actually was hung for murder of her brother, they reckoned that there were 3,000 people there. Can you imagine that outside? You know,
seems a bit gruesome, isn't it?
And the oldest person there was 71. Who got killed? He was a German, actually. He'd come over here, and I think he'd murdered his wife. And so, that was it.
Yeah.
Funny enough, it was the length of rope by each hangman. Each hangman had his own preference for different routes. And there were two main actual hangmen in England. If you had a long rope, then the actual prisoner or convict died very quickly. But if you had a short rope, he strangled to death, literally. Not very nice.
Did you get a vote to which one they got?
Anyway, and I put in there stories about haunted pubs in the local area, like the Spotted Dog, not Dick. Yeah. where 13 Hanoverian soldiers were burnt to death. You know, it is thought it was the carelessness of one of them by knocking out his pipe in the straw because they were in the stables, you know. But, that's basically what it, you know.
Actually, I have to pick you up. What my wife picked up on something. She was fascinated by the story of the bloke that only had one hand or something. He managed to dig his way out of a prison with a spoon or something. How the heck did he do that?
Well, in fact, prior to Springfield Prison being built, there were two prisons. You know where the stone bridge is today? Then, in fact, there were two prisons there, but they were on the river.
Yeah.
And the water got into the actual fabric of the buildings, and gradually they deteriorated. And in fact, one, as you quite rightly say, one guy actually dug his way out with a spoon.
And he only got one hand. Result,
Yeah, and as a result of that, that's when they decided to build Springfield Prison.
Yeah.
Because it was getting really bad.
Now, the one thing about this book that you couldn't have put in the earlier book, because this one covers the time span for the Roman invasion from the present day, so you wouldn't have too many pictures of that, I would imagine.
No, you wouldn't.
And we can't do justice to all the aspects that you've covered. But when you were researching this book, what was the most surprising fact that you uncovered?
I'll be honest with you, the thing that actually did fascinate me completely, and there were many of them in there, was the actual stone bridge itself.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. The fact that being a writer, I've got a fairly good imagination, and I think it was got thoughts about the thousands of people who've actually crossed that bridge since the 17th century. Fantastic, you know. Mm. And as I say, the fact that you had two prisons behind there, etc. And, of course, there were bridges there before.
Mm.
But the fact that that actually divides Molsham off from Chelmsford as well. At one stage,
because that was the thing I wanted to pick up on. Yeah. Molsham, I'd never heard of. I mean, Molsham Street, yes, but I didn't know that it was a place in its own right.
Yes, it's absolutely in its own right. And it's got its own history as well. In fact, the Romans actually started in Molsham, as I understand. But during the plague in 1350-odd, that in fact they had they employed the plague actually started in Molsham itself.
Mm.
And what they did, they employed a guy to actually stand on the bridge and stop anybody leaving Molsham and going into Chelmsford.
Right.
They managed to do it for a while, but ultimately, of course, the plague did move on to Chelmsford, and 25% of the actual population died.
Now, the thing that's curious from your book is that it would appear that in the time of the Domesday Book, Molsham was much bigger than Chelmsford, and yet it's now virtually disappeared as a separate entity. How did that happen?
Well, in fact, I think that my explanation for it is, during the course of the Domesday Book, in Molsham there were 12 families, but in Chelmsford there were only four. And I think the reason for that was that the Romans had actually settled in Molsham, and in fact, they used Chelmsford as well. But then later on, when King John set up the market, the Bishop of London actually asked for a charter from King John, bad King John that was, to put a market in Chelmsford. Mm. And they did actually set up a market in Chelmsford. And as a result of that, initially it was just an ordinary market.
Mm.
And then eventually they started building houses there. Therefore, Chelmsford became the main stay of Chelmsford.
Yeah. Now, in the book, you mark a number of occasions when Chelmsford became the centre of attention, particularly in times of trouble. And whilst I suspect that a good many of those are well known, like the Peasants' Revolt in 1381, when young King Richard II took his court to Rittal, I would have thought it was less well known that the role that the town played during the Napoleonic Wars.
Yes, yeah,
Tell us a bit more about that.
What actually happened was it did play a tremendous part. Troops marched from London to Harwich to embark for France and were billeted in Chelmsford. Obviously, it was a fair way from London to Harwich. And in fact, at that time, there were more soldiers in Chelmsford than there were inhabitants. Yeah, a fact. Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, so that's what I read anyway.
Yeah.
And they took up every billet and every stall, stables, church hall, every space they could find. Obviously, at that particular time, crime increased because of the military being there. You can imagine the soldiers going on the rampage.
Yeah. Hitting the pubs.
You're not kidding. And they were often, if they were convicted, they were actually subject to the cat and nine tails, you know.
Yeah, so that wouldn't be too pleasant either.
And in fact, Napoleon actually boasted that he would plant a French eagle on the Tower of London when he was going to invade in 1803. But at that particular time, the British regular army was only 50,000, 50,000. And we only, as I say, and Napoleon had a tremendous army over in France. And in fact, they set up voluntary regiments, and Chelmsford had supplied two of them, which was the Royal Chelmsford Volunteers, who were raised by Rector John Morgan, and the Royal Roxwell Volunteers, who were raised about the same time. They built earthworks and things like that, because the idea was like Churchill's idea. It was realised that we couldn't stop Napoleon if he did land, and they were going to set up a guerrilla sort of warfare.
Yes, Now, you also make mention of the Essex Chronicle, because you said that they carried reports of every important event since 1764, and that the first edition appeared on the streets 4 years before the Times. How on earth did that come about? That's incredible.
Yeah, I must admit, I should have really included that in one of the facts that I found surprising. I was surprising. I did interview the actual Essex Chronicle, which makes a change from the as I said, they were set up. The actual Essex Chronicle came out in 1764. William Stirper, I hope I've pronounced that correct. It took a printing took on a printing works in the High Street, and at first he just sold anything to do with writing, etc. Magazines, Bibles, pens, writing books. And then he realised that Essex didn't have its own paper. So what he did was to set one up. And then it became a roaring success, and even more so when he started putting adverts in, you know.
Yeah.
So that's how it came about, anyway.
Wonderful stuff. Yeah,
I was quite interested in that.
Now, it comes as a little surprise that many Chelmsford pubs, as you touched on earlier, I'm going to mention, and obviously a good many of these have disappeared as transport moved away from horses, pulled stagecoaches and canals and motor transport to rail, etc. And obviously there are a number of hauntings. Is there any that stick out in your mind?
There are some brilliant hauntings in actual Chelmsford. And one of the best ones I always thought was actually it's the White Horse in Great Meadow, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Which is haunted. Thomas Kidmer sold all his property in Ely to move to London. He was having a hard time, actually. He wanted to get all his assets together and move up to London. He sent his wife on ahead and then said he would follow on. He didn't turn up. And she couldn't believe it. And she was pregnant at the time, so she thought her husband wouldn't just disappear, you know.
Sure.
And for 10 years, she actually searched for him. And then eventually, one day, she saw an advert, a piece in the paper, one of the local papers, where, in fact, there was a body found at the White Horse. And it transpired that she went there, and it transpired that the old landlord had actually murdered her husband for his money, and he still actually haunts the place today, you know.
Goodness me.
In fact, what happened then was that ostler, funny enough, the landlord, old landlord, was dead, and his wife was put on trial, but she died before she could be convicted. But the ostler, that's the guy that looked after the horses, he had dealings with it. And in fact, he was hanged for the actual murder of her husband. But fancy looking for somebody for 10 years.
Incredible, right? Absolutely. Now, we've touched on various legal aspects, and perhaps I could end up with one which struck me as really amazing, and that was trial by combat. What do you say was brought into this country?
Well, in fact, you had various ways of actually, various ways of actually on trial, but trial by combat, I understand, came over with William the Conqueror, and the idea was that if someone insulted somebody, or in fact they wanted to prove their innocence, that what they did Well, they challenged one another, and they actually literally fought to the death, you know.
Rather than actually, and this actually happened in one case where in the court, and the judge agreed that he could do it.
Yeah, that was Lord Tyndall, Judge Tyndall. In fact, what happened in that particular case was that
he was a young guy, and he reckoned that his sister had been raped or attacked by the defendant. And then he went back and tried to take this guy to court, and the defendant threw down the glove. Incredible.
And people didn't realise, I mean, we talk about the 18th century, and people didn't realise that that was still the law at that particular time. They did actually change it soon afterwards.
It's all well and good if you're big enough to take it all on. Now, as we mentioned right at the outset, there's so many aspects of the town covered over so many years, no way we could actually really scratch the surface of what you know. So the only way that you can find out is to grab a copy. So, Jim, come on, remind us of the title. Wait and get your hands on a copy and the all-important price, of course.
Yes, in fact, you can get a copy in Waterstones. Mm-hmm. The book is Secret Chancered, and the price is $14.99. Mm-hmm. But if you like to look on my website,
which is
www.jim-reeve.com.
Yep.
You can get it a little bit cheaper.
Good stuff. All right. Well, look, thanks very much indeed for coming in. And good luck with the book. Good luck with any more books. Have you got any more in the pipeline?
Well, I have been asked to do one on the buildings of Chelmsford, actually.
Goodness me.
I want to concentrate now on fiction. I've written about 4 different novels, and, I want to concentrate on doing those. I enjoy writing these, but in fact, I do write like fiction very much, using my imagination.
Good stuff. Well, good luck with all of that. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you very much.
Cheers.
Thank you.